If you're just joining us, you're listening to Object of Sound, and this is Christmas at Home with Hanif Abdurraqib, a holiday special from PRX and Sonos. I'm Hanif Abdurraqib, and I'm at home. In this hour, we're looking at the landscape of holiday music and getting into the joys and nostalgia of Christmas and what it is to celebrate away from the kind of traditional container of the holiday. One of the signatures of Christmas music is its omnipresence. It's in every grocery store, every shopping mall. I know there are folks who want to wait until after Thanksgiving to immerse themselves in Christmas songs, but I, much like our new patron saint of the holiday, Mariah Carey, am sprinting towards Christmas music the minute that Halloween ends, before they even put the discount signs on the Halloween candy. I'm diving through and tearing the wrapper off the old Christmas playlists I've made, and a kind of Christmas tradition unto itself is the reformatting and reimagining of the classics. She and Him, the duo comprised of Zooey Deschanel and M. Ward, are kind of masters of this craft. They have released 3 Christmas albums by this point. They are re-releasing their landmark Christmas album from 2011, A Very She and Him Christmas, with a few updated tracks that pull from songs from the 80s while still going back towards the original standards that the album was known for. And so I was so thrilled to get a chance to talk to them about how they make Christmas songs, how they find the Christmas songs that excite them. And yes, of course, we did touch on eggnog just a little bit.
Merry Christmas, I wrapped it up and sent it with a note saying I love you. I love you, I meant it. Now I know what a fool I've been.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
Good.
Good, how are you?
I'm good. So you both are once again joining forces to spread Christmas cheer. And what I really loved about the album was that it seemed like it was like dipping a toe in the 80s Christmas songs, which is the decade of Christmas song that I kind of love. The 80s they were so whimsical and sad and like just kind of like bummer heartbreak songs, which are right up my alley.
Well, Last Christmas is this... like, I always thought there is so much melancholy in that song. And of course, it's Wham, you know, so the production is pretty poppy and upbeat and kind of fun. And I always saw the like core of that song being this like heartbreaking song. That's part of the reason why it was kind of a fun song to reinvent.
Process-wise, how do you go from hearing a song, wanting to cover a song, and then working out the cover? Like for Last Christmas, this kind of iconic heartbreak song, how do you take that and make it your own?
The joys of deconstructing songs with just an acoustic guitar is pretty never-ending for me, because you can deconstruct rhythm, bass, tempo, melody all in one. I have a blast turning big productions into songs that are based in just acoustic guitar. And the fact that I get to just focus on the guitar and leave the vocals to Zooey is just like a huge pleasure.
Let's touch on nostalgia a bit, because a big part of the exploration of this episode is for me that I didn't grow up celebrating Christmas. I was raised Muslim, and so I don't have any relationship to Christmas beyond like the aesthetics. Like, I love lights and I like songs. And it dawns on me that a real function of Christmas, for me at least, is reveling in this kind of broad nostalgia that I actually have no connection to whatsoever. Is it like the most nostalgic of the holidays? I mean, is it something that for you all, like, what did you do celebrating Christmas growing up? Do you have traditions that you return to even now? Is the returning to those traditions building bridges back to a nostalgia that makes not just the music, but the entire aesthetic of the holiday, you know, linger a bit?
I think the thing about Christmas is it's such an individual thing, and it's really like more about like what you did with your family over the holidays. We purposefully didn't put any religious leaning Christmas songs on our albums because we wanted it to feel like more of, it's a holiday record, more about the seasonal stuff and the food and the togetherness and all that stuff. For me, the thing I like most about Christmas was the music. And it was also just the fact that a lot of people know Christmas songs. So when I would get together with a group, a lot of people would know those old Christmas carols and I would know the harmonies. So I would get to sing harmonies with lots of people. And singing harmonies is one of my greatest joys in life. So for me, it would always just represent mainly the joy that I felt when I was singing with other people.
100%. The holidays is whatever you make it. For me, it's getting together with family and it's sometimes friends that I haven't seen in so long. And that's one thing about Christmas. You know, Halloween is great, but you don't plan for months ahead of time to get on the interstate and hook up with your family on Halloween. It's like only once a year, really, where you make every effort on this one holiday to see the faces that you haven't seen in so long. And music plays, I think, a great part in bringing people together, whether it be family or friends, or in the case of this tour we're about to go on, it can bring strangers together. And so many songs have been written about that, too.
I love the like tradition for people who don't celebrate Christmas of like ordering Chinese food on Christmas. That's a tradition too. I mean, I think the fact that those traditions are things that you share with people you care about, it's nice.
The Christmas song seems to, at least to me, exist in a realm where it's like there are cover songs, but it seems like to cover a Christmas song is almost a different category altogether, because it is often something that folks are singing along to or humming along to or singing anyway. And some of the standards are so old that they almost just beckon a type of reinvention every single year. I mean, every year there are waves of Christmas albums, all of them presenting songs that we know well differently than we heard them last. And I'm wondering if there's a kind of freedom in that, a freedom of exploration and experimentation, knowing that, you know, you're singing a song that has not only been sung many times before you got to it, but will also be sung by someone else multiple times in the same season that you got to it.
I mean, the age of the song, I think, does not intimidate us at all. Whether or not it's a good song and we can feel it, and that's one of the things I love about working with Zoe, is I feel like her voice is able to pack a lot of emotion into all of the songs we've recorded. There's not a lot of overboard technical showing off of scales, whether we're talking about the guitars or the vocals. I think that just makes the songs have more emotion for me. I think a lot about people like Nina Simone, how it doesn't matter who she's covering, what age it was.
Yeah. One of the great reinventors.
Yeah. Every phrase seems like it came from her. And that's just an example of who cares how old this song is or how many times it's been heard. So many of these songs are timeless. There is some liberation in that.
The version of Baby, It's Cold Outside is so fascinating to me because you both have kind of found a way to, I don't know what, you found a way to reinvent it that for me makes it feel like a charming and affectionate push and pull and not kind of like a horrifying negotiation.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
The evening has been
hoping that you drop in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands there just like
my mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
Father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace.
So really, I'd better skirt.
Beautiful, please don't hurt.
And you both have found a way, and I don't know if it's perhaps the switch in gendered speakers, and then it like, you know, maybe reflects a different power dynamic, but I'm probably thinking too into it. I think it's maybe just the actual dynamic that you both have where it feels warm.
That song, because I had sung it Elf, and when we were like, oh, we should do that. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do it unless we switch it around. It's ready for that, you know? And I love how Matt pumped up the tempo.
Yeah.
It becomes more conversational. I also love, you know, Jim Keltner is drumming on this song. He sets up a conversation with that beat. You're like, oh, I really can't say it. But baby, it's cold outside. But I really can't. But it doesn't stew in its creepiness. Matt and Jim Keltner kind of saved the song from from whatever inherent creepiness lurked within its DNA.
Maybe just to have a drink more.
Put some records on while I
play. Neighbors might think.
Maybe it's bad out there.
Say what's in this drink.
No caps to be had out there.
Now I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlight
to
now.
To break a spell.
I'll take your hat, your hair looks
I ought to say no, no, no.
Mind if I move in?
The thing that kind of started this series of me falling down a rabbit hole of Christmas songs was thinking, of course, about Mariah Carey, who has kind of almost become this holiday mascot almost, wondering why there has not been a new Christmas standard with staying power like All I Want for Christmas Is You since All I Want for Christmas Is You has come out. Part of me is wondering if you both have ever thought, why don't we take a swing at making a big, you know, capital C Christmas original and seeing how if we can make it work.
Zoe and I've talked about it, but it's playing with fire a little bit. Writing these really simple songs, going back to Baby It's Cold Outside or some of the other songs that we have on our records that are really only three or four chords, it's really hard to write something so simple and so good and so strong that has depth. I imagine we will dip our toes in that, but we haven't yet.
I have a lot of thoughts about the Mariah Carey Christmas song, actually. What I think is so great about that song is that it sounds like it's on the Phil Spector Christmas album with the Ronettes and Darlene Love. To write a great Christmas song, you know, I do think it has to feel really classic and something that somebody wants to revisit every year. And I do think it's hard to find lyrical inspiration in the Christmas season because there have been so many songs written about Christmas and the holidays.
And I would just, as a last thing, say that it was not a global smash at all, but Nick Lowe put out a Christmas record about 10 years ago that I really recommend as far as people who are still writing great Christmas songs.
So for me, the Nick Lowe Christmas album is there are albums and songs that I think work leading up to Christmas. And then there are songs for when you're kind of like in it. In my case, scouring a town for whatever food is open on Christmas Day. And I think the Nick Lowe album is a perfect soundtrack to kind of like driving around and seeing what restaurant is maybe got the open light on.
Outside the taxi window, on the way to catch my flight, I notice snowflakes playing in the ever-failing light.
Okay, so finally, the thing about me and the holiday is that I have never had eggnog before.
Oh.
And whenever the holidays approach, I also like hear and see these debates about the qualities of eggnog. Have either of you ever had eggnog? Is it worth pursuing?
Yes.
I am not a fan.
Is it the consistency or the taste for you?
For me, I don't really like the taste of milk either. So I think maybe it's a little too thick for me. But Zoe's a fan.
Yeah, I grew up loving eggnog. I thought it was so delicious. And I remember being a kid, and then I know it was like Christmas season. Someone would be like, do you want some eggnog? And I don't know. It's like kind of like a milkshake. It's really sweet. I don't drink it much now, and I don't drink a lot of milk myself. They have like oat milk versions of eggnog with like the same spices, you know?
I will seek out the oat milk eggnog.
Yeah, try it.
Thank you both so much for joining me. I can't wait to try the oat milk eggnog, which I have already Googled and will be purchasing as quickly as possible.
Well, let us know what you think.
Nice to talk to you.
Great talking to you.
That was She and Him. The 10th anniversary edition of A Very She and Him Christmas is out now, and the band is on tour. You can find out if they're coming to your city at sheandhim.com. You're listening to Object of Sound, Christmas at Home with Hanif Abdurraqib, a holiday special from PRX and Sonos. And today, we're devoting our entire show to the world of Christmas music. In putting this episode together, we talked a lot about how Christmas is also a flexible holiday that means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. With that in mind, we loved getting voicemails from folks across the country about their traditions they've invented for themselves this time of year. Let's take a listen.
When I turned 16 and I was able to drive, my friends would always be with their families during Christmas, and I had a pretty tough family situation. And so kind of as an escape, I would drive around and look at Christmas lights, listening to Christmas music with the windows down and a hot chocolate. And it was lovely because it felt like I was celebrating and it was festive, but I didn't have to kind of face the struggles that like being at home during the holidays brought.
Hi, Nif. This is Luca. I'm Italian and I live here in New York now. And when I was living in Italy, I come from Turin up on the border with France. Some of us were coming from Jewish families. Others were celebrating different days or not celebrating at all. On the 24th night, which is when a lot of Italian family traditionally celebrate Christmas, we organized what we called the Dinner of the Excluded. Yeah, and everyone was welcome to join. That was our made-up tradition.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your personal Christmas traditions. And now for a final thought. Since this show is revolving around holiday traditions, another holiday tradition of mine is that I used to host a Love Actually party, which is pretty much exactly what it sounds. For about 12 years straight, I would invite my friends over. We would put on Love Actually. We would make fun of it. We would throw popcorn at the screen and, you know, wish ill upon the guy who held up those stupid cards outside of Keira Knightley's house, the whole nine. And in Love Actually, for those who haven't seen it, it begins with a scene where Hugh Grant is speaking over a montage of people greeting each other in the airport.
Whenever I get gloomy with the state of the world, I think about the arrivals gate at Heathrow Airport. General opinion is starting to make out that we live in a world of hatred and greed. But I don't see that. Seems to me that love is everywhere.
And largely I've been thinking about it because I've been back in airports. And what I always notice about airports is the exact opposite of what Hugh Grant is espousing. Airports are a space where people are perhaps the least kind and least generous to each other, especially now, as I think air travel has a level of heightened intensity. And this year, I've begun to think of the airport as an extension of the world. Generosity and grace should be extended to people we don't know when we bump into them or when we're standing in their way. It seems to me we are required to be gentle as we navigate through this season. And I think people need to extend this gratitude, particularly to folks who have been deemed essential workers, who have been serving and delivering food and carrying groceries and all of these things that I think sometimes get taken for granted. So my hope for this holiday season is that people extend some patience towards each other. Please be thoughtful about how you're sharing space in the world with folks who are, like you, trying their best. And with that, I want to wish everyone a happy holiday, whatever holiday it is they celebrate or do not celebrate. Even if that holiday is a holiday of the self, I am going to be celebrating the holiday of time off and rest. And I hope that y'all get some of that as well. This has been Object of Sound, Christmas at Home with Hanif Abdurraqib, a holiday special from PRX and Sonos. Thank you to our guests this week, Hrishikesh Hirway, Zoe Deschanel, and M. Ward. Object of Sound is a weekly show where we fuse conversations and music playlists to build community around music and guide us all to deeper listening. New episodes come out every Friday. We've had some incredible artists on the show, people like Joan Armatrading, Questlove, Sufjan Stevens, Julian Baker, and more. Subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast app, listen back to past episodes, and follow us to see what's next. We're at Object of Sound on Instagram and Twitter, plus Sonos Radio on Instagram. This show is produced by Work by Work, Scott Newman, Gemma Rose Brown, Kathleen Ottinger, Emily Shaw, and by me, Hanif Abdurraqib. The show is mixed by Sam Baer. Extra gratitude to Ian Fox, Sean Nesbitt, Jason Saldana, and the team at PRX. And of course, Joe Dawson and Saida Blount at Sonos. Thank you so much for listening.